Let's get right to it. You just heard his name, Mike Leonard. Now we're going to hear his voice. Hey, Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, John, how's it going? I've figured you out.
Oh, no, that's no good. What's up?
Well, because it's the shortest show of the year, so you had me on.
Well, you know, Mike, we've had you on for some of our longer shows, too. I will take you any way we can get you on the air, Mike. And I understand you have a question for me, as you often do. Hopefully it's a short one because of our short show.
Oh, yeah, all week long. Listeners have been asking me to ask you, what do you think about this Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce issue?
Oh, my God. I don't care. I think it's great. I hope they're happy.
Questioners?
I hope they're happy, right? Like, I can't even believe how much airtime and it just clouds all of the news right now. And I just don't care, Mike. I'm sorry. I hope that. Do you feel the same way, or do you have a strong opinion on this?
Well, my house includes a lot of Swifties, so I have to be very politically correct on that one.
Okay. Well, go Taylor Swift, go the football player, and I hope they live happily ever after, although, I don't know, time doesn't seem to, or history doesn't seem to indicate they will. Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way, Mike. Good question. Yeah, you're a federal defense attorney. You do whistleblower cases as well. You've recently had a case that you said wanted to lead to kind of like bigger discussions about reasonable doubt and jury pools. Tell us a little bit about what you just went through.
Yeah, we've kind of been in the midst of trial season the last few weeks and for the next couple months. And so we just tried one out, a state court criminal jury trial in Kane County, you know, west of Chicago. And so it was on a week-long trial before a jury and ended up prevailing in all counts, you know, client, meaning that the jury found him not guilty on every count, which was quite satisfying.
And this was in state court or federal court?
That was in state court.
Okay. Well, that's good. Congratulations on that.
It brought up some good issues for us to discuss and maybe to get some input on the text line or on the phone line, because we seem to have a lot of interest in this whole juror angle to our trials.
Yeah, anytime we talk juries on this show, we get a lot of opinions and questions on it. So 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or thoughts for Mike Leonard. Okay, so reasonable doubt. Can you explain it? I mean, I think we all kind of get what it is, although it is fairly nebulously explained, right, Mike? I mean, it's one of those you know it when you see it sort of things, I guess is the best way to describe it, or do you have a better way?
In federal court, generally, they never, ever define what it means for the jurors. In state court, they take pretty much the same approach, but they let you do a lot more inquiry during jury selection about the concept.
Oh, so in jury selection, you're actually going back and forth with jurors about what they think it means, or you educating them on what it means?
Well, it's a tricky subject. I mean, on the one hand, it's the hallmark of our system that the prosecution has to prove the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But yet, for the most part, we're not allowed to talk about it. So what I thought was interesting about this most recent jury was that the judge did allow us to make inquiry into what the jurors' perception of that concept was when they came into the room for jury selection.
And what did they have to say?
So we got a real cross-section of answers, which, of course, was very illuminating if you're a defense attorney and also for the prosecution. You know, some people believed it was, as they would say, things like, oh, that's a huge amount of evidence or a lot of evidence. Some people said it meant you can't rely upon hearsay. Other people seem to have no idea at all what it meant.
So what do you do? Are you allowed to kind of like explain it to a juror when that happens? Or are you just listening to their answers and trying to determine who would best fit on the jury that you would want for your defendant?
Exactly. So it was the latter. So we were forbidden from then coming back and saying in response to a juror's answer, We're not allowed to come back and say, hey, what it really means is this, or here's why I think you're wrong or right. We're only allowed to just take it in, which was great for us as people picking a jury, but it didn't enlighten them anymore as to what the concept meant.
I have a question, Mike. Do you think it would be better if we did define it more, or does its, you know, interpretation to each person give people that opportunity to define it themselves, and that's better for the justice system?
Well, it's a tough call. It's one you could debate probably for another 10 years, and it's been debated for a long time. I personally feel like it would be nice if jurors got some sense of how that standard of proof compares to different standard of proofs in other types of cases. I mean, We are typically allowed to talk about how a criminal case is different than a civil case, but that's really the extent of what we're allowed to say to the jury. So I think if they had some more comparative, I think that might be useful. But it's a strange concept that it permeates our system, yet we don't want to talk about it.
Why don't you give us, for any potential jurors out there, you're not in a courtroom right now, what do you think reasonable doubt means?
I think it means that viewing the government's evidence against the defendant, that they, in their minds, are clearly and convincingly persuaded that the government has met their burden.
That's nebulous too, though, Mike. I mean, I guess there's no like definable answer. I thought you would have a stronger defense of reasonable doubt, as if you could say that there's no other possible explanation, or any possible explanation must be so outrageous as to not even become, that it wouldn't even work in the movies or something.
I'd like that one, John. If we can start using that in the courtroom, I would love that to be adopted. The John Hansen reasonable doubt instruction.
Right. Well, I do think that, like, there are multiple protections for defendants. Obviously, it's the reasonable doubt burden, but it's also that you need a unanimous jury. I mean, the system really is set up, for the most part, you may disagree with me here and feel free to give the defendant every benefit of the doubt when they walk into the courtroom and then in the jury deliberation.
Well, I'd say I agree in part. I mean, I think that, unfortunately, there's still something that permeates people's minds, and that the mere fact that a defendant is sitting there, sometimes people can't get it out of their mind that, gee, if they're accused of something, they must have done something wrong. And I think that's difficult for some people to get beyond, even though the indictment of the criminal complaint is just a piece of paper. And there's an awful lot of circumstances, as we know, where the person is innocent or certainly would never be proved guilty. So I think that's a fundamental concept that we have to combat every time we step into a courtroom. And I wouldn't agree that the deck is stacked in favor of the defendants. I feel like the prosecution has just incredible amount of resources and power, and particularly compared to the defense bar and the public defense bar.
Right. And I mean, I get what you're saying there, although you have to prove, you just have to get one juror to disagree, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, one for a hung jury and therefore a mistrial, but that doesn't mean your client wouldn't be tried again.
True.
And, you know, mistrials based upon a hung jury, I'll bet statistically are probably less than 5%, maybe less than that.
Okay. All right. It's at 1:20 here on WGN. Got about 5 more minutes with Mike Leonard before we hit the break before Northwestern football. And we're really tackling some deep topics here, Mike, in this short show. You also wanted to chat about the idea of a defendant's right not to testify and the impressions that that makes on the jury. Broadly speaking, what are your thoughts? Hold on, we lost your audio a little bit, Mike. Speak clearly into the receiver, please.
Can you, John?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. So, again, that's one of the most important concepts in a criminal case, whether it's at the federal or state level, and the fact that the jury is not allowed to and can't consider whether the defendant chooses to exercise his right not to testify. And, of course, the underpinnings of that are he has no burden to prove himself innocent or to rebut the government's case. And
okay.
I think, again, there's this concept in people's heads that, gee, if I was accused of something, I would say something. What's your thought about that, Jeff?
Well, I think that that might be a thought, but I feel like if you've watched a single law show or listened to a single law or this show, you know that so many people, clients, advise defendants not to testify that I actually think it's permeated to the average person walking on the street that, yeah, there's a kind of a distrust of what the prosecutors could do to you on the stand. And I don't think that's so much of a, oh my gosh, they must have done it because they don't want to take the stand anymore.
Well, good. That's really good to hear. And I hope that that's reflective of a societal view, something we always struggle with in every case. You know, does the defendant get on the stand and testify or not? And what are the risks of that? And what's the perception going to be of the jury, even though they're told repeatedly by the judge that's not something that they can consider?
It's interesting that, I get what you're saying. I also like the idea of a judge for any sorts of things, right? Like if something comes up in court and there's an objection and it's accepted, sustained, and the judge says, don't listen to what just happened, even though everyone clearly did. I mean, how hard is that for jurors to actually get that out of their brain? Or do you find that chatting with jurors after deliberations that they do a good job of eliminating things that they were told not to think about?
Well, it's hard. Sometimes emphasizing the point again to them, let's say there's a question that comes up that's improper or something comes out that's improper, and the judge sustains the objection, meaning you can't ask that question or you can't consider that evidence. Sometimes that's enough, and you really, from the defendant's standpoint, don't want the court dwelling on it by pointing out to the jury, hey, don't think about that thing we were just talking about, right? But it also kind of depends on the magnitude of what the issue is. Certainly, if it's a giant issue that has somehow got in front of the jury, it's going to be tough to unring that bell, so to speak. But I think generally people can, especially guided by the fourth person in the jury, can put those things out of their mind.
Talking with Mike Leonard from Leonard Trial Lawyers. I've done a lot of defense work in the federal justice system, state court too, as well as whistleblower cases. I saw that some senators are advocating for more money for public defenders across the country. Agree? Disagree?
Oh, 1,000% agree.
Tell us why.
The disparity in the resources between the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Defender's Office, and more importantly, at the state level, the difference between the funds given to prosecutors and given to local and state public defender's office, it couldn't be a bigger chasm there.
Why is there resistance to this? I feel like we all agree to the general burden of, you know, every defendant should have a right to a fair trial and right representation. And everyone feels that it's not fair that rich people get to hire rich lawyers and get off easier than people that don't have those means. Where's the resistance here, Mike?
Well, it's easy to convince people to spend money to fight crime. And so if that is giving more dollars to law enforcement or prosecutor's office, people seem to always be all for it. When you're trying to get the same money to make the system balanced and fair, it's not the most popular thing. Let's give more money to people who are defending people accused of crimes. So it's always been a difficult public relations. And
Mike, did you choose to train for the marathon during today's show? Are you like walking the dog or something?
No, am I sounding out of breath?
Yes, you're going in and out. I'm like, did you run errands during Let's Get Legal? It's only a half hour show, Mike.
No, John, I don't know what's going on. I think it's quality of WGN maybe today.
No, don't even you dare say that. It's okay, Mike. We checked off three big talkers off the list in a short amount of time for a short show. Mike, Leonard, where can people reach you? I know LeonardTrialLawyers.com. What's the best phone number?
312-380-6559.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap things up next on WGN.